The word of God we meditate on this morning is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 to 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint, nor is he weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So far the word of our Lord. It's a wonderful passage that I'm sure you're all very familiar with. A wonderful promise here from the Lord. A wonderful promise to send our graduates out on. This promise that the Lord will be with them, that he will strengthen them, that he will lift them up. And yet, as wonderful a passage as it is, it kind of begins with a scolding. Actually, many of God's promises have a tendency to begin that way. It begins very sarcastically, actually. Didn't you hear? Did you miss the memo? God doesn't get tired. It begins that way because in the verses before, the people of Israel are complaining to God. And their complaint is one that we're probably all familiar with. Why me? Why are you doing this to us, Lord? Why aren't you doing what is fair? Why aren't you giving us what we deserve? That's the general attitude of the people of Israel. And Isaiah's response is, didn't you guys remember that God doesn't get tired? He doesn't give up on you. It's not as if he doesn't know what's going on. The everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. You'll notice throughout this passage, there's a constant doubling of the verbs and even some of the nouns. That's pretty normal in Hebrew poetry, especially emphasizes the point that Isaiah is trying to make. And here you have two verbs for getting tired. He doesn't faint, and neither is he weary. The first one there, and I think it probably comes across in the English with the word faint, but maybe we don't stop to think about it. The first verb refers to growing tired due to lack of water or lack of food. You don't have the fuel. You don't have the energy that you need to keep going. And so, of course, you grow tired. I'm sure many of you farmers working out in the heat of the day, although now you sit in your air-conditioned tractors, maybe it's not quite the same. But I know one of you, I don't remember which one, but I know one of you was telling me how when they were young, they used to have to run water out. Their job was to fill buckets of water or whatever, cups of water, and take it out to the farmers who were working in the field. You need that water, especially in the heat of the day, or you're going to faint. But guess what? God is eternal, isn't he? He doesn't need a source of energy to keep him going. He is the source of all energy. And Isaiah is going to emphasize that again in the next section, or the next verse, that he's the source. He doesn't need a source, and so he doesn't grow faint. You don't have to worry about that. But neither does he grow weary. And the second verb emphasizes the weariness that comes from working all day and just exhausting your muscles. And you go home and you just want to sit and have a beer or however it is that you want to relax. You've been working hard all day. But again, Isaiah points out, this is the one who created the ends of the earth. And that didn't tire him out. He didn't need a rest after that. Then what job are you going to ask of him? Or what thing are you going to bring to him in prayer? And he's going to say to you, oh, I'm too tired to do that now. I'm going to wait and do it tomorrow. He's not going to do that. It's not with lack of fuel. It's not weariness. That's not why he's not answering your prayers. Isaiah here is really just pointing out to us the foolishness of the way we often think about and approach God. Whenever we think, well, I'm in a jam here, but but God's not going to help me. I have to get out of it myself. That's when Isaiah comes and says, what, do you think God's too tired or too weak or too faint to help you out? What are you thinking? Or if you think, well, I can't give money to church because I need to, you know, make sure I have enough for myself first. And again, Isaiah comes in this verse and he says, well, what are you thinking? You think God can't provide for you? You think he's too busy to look after you? But probably the most direct application to our life, and the one that is really what's going on in the minds of the Israelites, is when we think that we have to make sure that we justify ourselves in the sight of the people. When we think that we need to make sure that everyone else knows that we're right. When we feel like we need to make sure that everyone acknowledges our superiority and the correctness of our way. We can't let people get away with ridiculing us. We can't let people get away with making fun of us or thinking little of us. That's really what the Israelites are doing here. Why are you letting the nations treat us like this, O Lord? Why aren't you lifting us up? We're your people. Why aren't you honoring us in the sight of the nations? And again, to that kind of thinking, Isaiah lays out the situation. You think that God isn't strong enough to do this? You think God doesn't know what he's doing? You think God's not going to come in his own time? Why do you feel like you need to make sure that you are justified before all people? Let the Lord take care of that. He doesn't grow tired or grow weak. Just make sure that your actions and your life is right before the Lord. And don't worry about the way other people are judging you. He continues in verse 29, he gives power to the weak. And there you have that same word that we talked about in the last one. It's translated weak here instead of faintness, but it's the same word in the Hebrew, the weakness because of lack of food or lack of water. And so there's a picture. You have no energy. Your source of energy is dried up. Don't worry. The Lord is the one who gives. The Lord is the one from whom energy really comes and power. Isaiah, just a couple chapters later, in Isaiah 50, verse 4, reminds us, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned. Why? That I should know how to speak a word in the season to him who is weary. Now we have that exact same word again. And notice what Isaiah is saying here. When we are weary, when we lack the energy we need to continue on, well, we're not going to get it from earthly food and water. What we need is a word from the Lord. It's the Lord who gives energy, who fills us and gives us what we need to continue on. As Jesus said, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This is compared, verse 29, he gives power to the weak and to those who have no might, he increases strength. This is compared then to verse 30, comparing those who are in the Lord, who receive strength from his word, compared to those who rely on their own strength. Verse 30, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And there we have that doubling up of verbs and nouns again. The youths, the first word there in the Hebrew is really referring to small children. We all know how inexhaustible the energy of small children are. It seems like they run around forever and just exhaust you trying to keep up with them. I know after a week of VBS every year, I'm usually ready for a full month of vacation running around after those kids. They never seem to grow tired. They always seem to have more energy. But even they, Isaiah said, even they will grow weary. And then even the young men. And so there now he's talking about men in the prime of their lives. In fact, the word here is often used for a warrior. Sometimes it's translated that way, a warrior, a young man, a warrior. in their 20s, full of strength, full of vim and vigor, right? At the height of their strength and power. But even these, those that men would look at and say they are the strongest, even these will utterly fail. Their strength cannot last. And so we have here, verse 29 and verse 30, we have that contrast between those who rely on the strength of God. He gives them strength. He gives power to the weak. Or those who rely on the strength of men, and they will fail. And man can indeed do great things. If you make sure to eat your Wheaties, right? Breakfast of Champions. And drink the water. And with the strength that God has given us in our bodies, we can do great things, build monuments, build airplanes, build computers, become doctors on our own. But whatever it is that man does, it will eventually fail. It will eventually become nothing. Habakkuk 2:13 reminds us, "Behold, it is not of the Lord of hosts that the peoples labor to feed the fire, and the nations weary themselves in vain." It's really a very poignant picture there. They labor to feed the fire. And you know that no matter how much wood you cut, no matter how much wood you throw on that fire, what happens to it? It burns up, it's gone. You have to constantly cut more and more. And that's how the Lord pictures the labors of men. Whatever we try and do, whatever we try and accomplish, it's never enough. You can plant all the seeds you want, and next year you're going to have to do the same thing. It's just throwing fuel on the fire, laboring in vain. All the glories of man is vain. And so that's really the heart of the question, the heart of this verse that the Lord lays on our hearts and the hearts of our graduates this morning. What are you going to put your hope in? What are you going to rely on? What are you going to look forward to? What is it you want to accomplish in life? The things of men? Is that the goal of your life? Not that it's wrong or bad to labor and work and build things and farm and do these things. It's good to do that before the Lord. But is that what you're going to set your heart on? Is that the meaning and the purpose of your life? To be president or to achieve fame? The things of men? Or are you going to put your hope on the things of God? And that's where Isaiah ends with verse 31. Compared to the youths that grow faint and be weary, compared to the young men that utterly fail, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And the word wait there implies much more than just sitting around. You're not just sitting around waiting to see what happens. You're waiting with expectation to something. Really, you could translate it hope, and that's the word I've been using throughout this section. And it's not a vain hope, a hope that is wondering what's going to happen. But as Paul reminds us, we hope, our hope is assurance, knowing our hope is not in vain. Knowing that the thing we hope for will come and will be, the Lord will come and take us to be with Him in heaven. And so that's really the meaning of the word wait here. Those who wait with eager expectation, looking forward to the thing that they know is coming. Those who trust the Lord's promise. And what does Isaiah say? Those who trust in the Lord, who know that He will fulfill His promise and that wait for that fulfillment, they shall renew their strength. And again, the English doesn't really capture the full meaning of the Hebrew here because renew, it sounds like, well, we ran out of strength and now the Lord is filling us up again. But actually, the Hebrew implies a complete change. This isn't a strength that we had before and now the Lord's filling us up again. It's not as if we spent everything and we're tired and we take the rest. Now we wake up full of strength and then we spend that again. This is something totally new. This is a complete change. This is a type of power, a type of strength that we did not have before. As Jesus told the Samaritan woman, The water which I give you will be living water. You'll never have to draw water again. You're not going to grow tired again. It will fill you up and be with you constantly. And Isaiah really emphasizes the uniqueness of this strength that we receive from the Lord when he says, they shall ascend. I know the New King James says mount up, but I like ascend better, right? They shall ascend on eagle's wings. That's not something that man's strength is ever capable of. Oh, man tries. All the other religions of the world try by the strength of man, by the goodness of our deeds, to ascend to heaven, to make our way to the throne of God through our own power, through our own strength. But it's not possible. It's not possible for man to ascend to heaven by his own power. But those who trust the word of the Lord, those who turn to him in faith, who say, yeah, I can't do this, I am a sinner, and wait on his word, they shall be lifted up. They shall ascend on wings like an eagle to the throne of God. And again, then, we see that choice that the Lord lays before us in our text. Again, to our graduates, again, to all of us, as we go forth in our life, what is the thing you're going to set your hope on? Are you going to say, I will build my life, and I will use my strength, and I, by my knowledge and by my power, will make my name great on the earth? I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, or I'm going to be this? Are you going to set that as the goal and hope of your life? Or are you going to turn to the Lord and to his word and put your hope in that? God freely gives the things of heaven to those who ask, to those who turn to him. In the strength of God's word, you will ascend to heaven. But that's not the only thing, is it? Because Isaiah continues, not only will you ascend with wings like eagles, but you shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint. In other words, all the things of this life he will add to you as well. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. All the things that are good for you anyway. All the things that are not going to keep you from him. So we can try and seek the kingdom of men and the things of men by our own power, and we will probably fail. Or we can wait on the Lord and his power and receive the things of heaven and all things that are good for us. Put your hope on the Lord as you go forth in your life. And this is really a wonderful passage. It's really a wonderful promise, something to keep with you in your heart, to assure yourself, to remind yourself that the Lord will lift you up and keep you in his wings. But nevertheless, it is still a word of law, isn't it? Because there's a command there. It's something we must do. If you wait on the Lord, you will ascend on wings like eagles. There's a condition there. And in that word of command, in that condition, we all fail. Even Abraham, the father of faith, the father of believers, failed to wait on the Lord, didn't he? The Lord gave him the promise, I will send you a son, Isaac. But Abraham thought to himself, well, I'm getting old. The Lord hasn't done it. I need to help the Lord out. Instead of waiting on the Lord, he turned to his own ideas about how he can get the thing that God had promised him. He relied on his own strength, his own knowledge, his own understanding. And that plan failed utterly. The consequences of Abraham having his son Ishmael by his maidservant are still felt in the world today. The children of Ishmael and the children of Israel are still fighting. That's what the strength and the plans of men come to. And yet God, in his mercy, didn't give up on Abraham. He didn't say, well, you failed the wait. It's too bad. This is all you're getting now. But despite Abraham's sin, the Lord still fulfilled his promise. Or even Peter couldn't even wait a few minutes. Couldn't even trust the word of the Lord for a few minutes. When he stepped out of that boat during that storm and almost immediately failed to rely, to trust on the Lord's word, and he began to sink. But God, Jesus didn't even wait. There's the gospel. There's the beauty of the Lord's promise. He didn't even wait for Peter's repentance, but immediately he was there, lifting Peter up out of the waves, restoring him to faith. And so, yeah, we fail over and over again. We fail to wait on the Lord and to wait on his promise. And many times that failure causes problems in our life. But the promise of the Lord still stands. The promise of the Lord is still there. He is our shepherd who is quick to reach out and pull us out of the sea that we ourselves are sinking in because of because relying on our own strength instead of him. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. So the Lord is always there to lift us up on those wings like eagles, to forgive our sins. And as we go forth in life, we want to remember to set our hearts on the things of God, to wait and rely on his promise, to put those things first in our life rather than the things of this world. But we also want to remember that when we fail, when we forget the Lord and his promises, the Lord is right there, just as we just sang, I am Jesus' little lamb, to help us and to restore us. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.